Now we're holding the second line of the wide lines on Lamed Beis, Amud Beis. So 10 lines from the bottom. We started talking about the criteria of a Hadas. In particular, what we said was that the plant, now again, with most of the Dalet Minim, the Torah doesn't specify them explicitly. It gives certain details about them, and the rest we know, the Kabbalah, Ish Mepiyish, back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So when it comes to the Hadas, the Pasuk describes it as a Naf Eitz Ovos, which literally means the branch of a thick tree. So we explain that it means two things. A Naf Eitz means that the leaves, Anafim means, Anafim can mean branches, but here it means what branches out of the twig, meaning the leaves, that those cover the twig, the stem itself. And it also has to be Ovos, it also has to be braided. In other words, in threes. So therefore, and so we said that a Yuduf would fit that criteria as well, but its leaves are sharp, so they'll lacerate your hands when you pick it up, and it's poisonous. And because of those, it can't be that those are the ones that the Torah, that's the one that the Torah intends. So therefore, by elimination, it's the Hadas. So now let's talk more about this, about the dinim of the Hadas. Turn it up on them. Kalua Kinitzia, the plant has to be braided like a braid, the dermal shashelas, and it resembles a chain, meaning again that you have three leaves on each level, and that you have that the leaves on each level reach all the way until the ones on the next level. Zehu hadas. So therefore that is a hat. So therefore that's the plant that Hashem wants us to take as one of the dalim. Rav Elazar, Yaakov Omer, and Naf Eitz Ovos. Rav Elazar and Yaakov says here's another way of understanding it. When the pasuk says a branch of a thick tree, so the implication is Eitz Shetam, the fact that it says a Naf, and then it says Eitz, where does a branch come from, if not from a tree? The point is, it has to be a plant where the fruit of it tastes similar to the wood of it. The heavy arm is a hadas, so therefore you must say that that is a hadas, which has like that. We're going to talk, we mentioned in the Mishnah briefly, we're going to talk about in the Gemara at greater length, that the hadas grows berries on it, and those berries have a taste similar to the wood of the hadas itself. In fact, those berries in principle are edible, and we're going to talk about that in the Gemara. The fact is, they're not normally something eaten, which is why, when we talk about the Dalet Minim and the characteristics of them, we say that, the Esrog has a taste and a smell representing the people of Torah and Mitzvahs, and the Lulav has a taste without a smell because of dates, etc., etc. The Hadas, we say, has a smell but no taste. Now, what do you mean no taste? We're saying it grows berries. But the fact is that those berries are not really something that would not be something normally edible. You could eat them, but that's not their primary purpose. And we're saying over here that they taste a lot like the wood of the hadas itself. Okay. Next, Tana. We learned a brisa. Eitz ovos kosher. So again, only if it's ovos, only if it has three, only if it's ovos, which literally means braided, is it kosher? V'shein ovos possible? If not, then it's possible. So what is that definition of ovos? You have to have three leaves in every kina. Now Rashi explains that actually what it means is you would have to have three leaves coming out of the same stem on the hadas. Tosfos objects to that and says that would be very, very hard to find. Even nowadays, they have a lot more hadassim and they're able to cultivate them better than they were before, and they're able to get lots of hadassim mishaloshim, which we talked about yesterday, and we're going to talk about in Gemara about the difficulty of getting them. But even then, to have three leaves come out of one stem is very, very difficult to find. So Tosfos said, no, that's not what it means. It just means that you have to have three on each level. That you have, in other words, you have either, each one's on a separate stem, but they all come out of the branch on the same level. And that's the halacha. Rav Kahana Omer, afilu trei v'chad. Rav Kahana says it doesn't have to be three altogether. You could even have two on one level and one on a different level, higher or lower. And in fact, the Gemara says, Rav Acha b'rei d'rabbah b'chadra trei v'chad. Once Rav Kahana said that, then Rav Acha b'rei d'rabbah, who was one of his Talmudim, was mahadir to take a hadas that has two and one, that doesn't have them three together, because it came out of Rav Kahana's mouth. And he wants to demonstrate that the halacha, l'maisa, is like The Rebbe used to bring that a lot of times as an example of where you see that when we have something that the Rebbeim did, even if we have to wonder how exactly they figured that out, the Alacha, nevertheless, even they themselves, even if Kahana himself is not saying you must take a 2-in-1, he agrees that a 3 is better, he's saying that a 2-in-1 is acceptable, but if Achav Rebbe Rebbe would actually be Mahader to follow his Rebbe. The same thing, we're Mahader to follow our Rebbeim, even if then we still have to figure out where exactly they got a particular din or a particular minhag from. On the other hand, Omale Marbra and Baramema Rav Ashi. Marbra Amema says to Rav Ashi, you should know, Abba, you should know, my father, Amema, who had a shaita parule. He called such a thing where it has 2 on one level and 1 on a different level. He called it a hadas shaita, implying that it's possible. Now there is an explanation, and that is the halacha, that a hadas shaita is in fact possible. There are some details about it, but Amma brings that maybe in places where it's very difficult to find hadassim with 3 leaves together, maybe you can be yotze with one that has 2 leaves on every level. Here we're saying in the Gemara we have 2, and then you have 1 higher or lower, and we're saying that's a hadass straighter, but maybe instead if you have ones where it's consistently 2, 2, 2 all the way up, maybe the dievet that would be fine. And the Achronim talk about pros and cons of whether we can accept that or not. There is also the Bahag that has an explanation that a hadas shoita means not necessarily what we're talking about over here with 2 and 1 like that, but rather the Bahag explains that a hadas shoita is also where the leaves are unusually large. And for that reason also, it mentions in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions in Shulchan Aruch or in the Noseh Kalin, a psul like that where the leaves are unusually large and therefore to be nizer in that. We learn in a brayse, and noshtu roiv olav, if most of the leaves on each level fall off, and shtayed by miut, and all you have is a minority left, kosher, then the hadas is still kosher, or vavad shetehe avoyse kayemes, provided that the braidedness of it, the threeness of it, is still intact. I says, how go for kasha? Well, then you have a contradiction. What do you mean? Amrit noshtu roiv olav, so you're saying if most of the three would be 2. Falls off, kosher, then you're still saying it's kosher. Then you're saying you still have to have, though, the braidedness is intact. Oh, given the natural low tray, if 2 out of every 3 leaves fall off, then how are you going to have obvious? You know, one leaf on each level is obviously not obvious. The answer is Amar Abaya. So Abaya says, Mashkahasla b'osra mitzra. You can find it'll work with a hadas mitzvah. Rashi gives 2 explanations. One is mitzvah, malashin netzar. It grows by the border of the field, and therefore it has more resources, it has more nutrients from the soil available to it, because there's nothing growing nearby it, so therefore it winds up growing very luxurious. The kind of shiva b'chad kina, so you end up, it grows with 7 leaves on each level instead of the normal 3. So therefore, the chinatri arba, so 4 leaves fall off, partial utlasa, then you still have 3 left. So you're right, with a normal hadas that wouldn't work, because as soon as 2 leaves fall off, then you certainly don't have ovos anymore. But here you have, where even the majority, 4 out of 7 fell off, and it's still kosher because you still have 3 left on each level. Rashi gives a second explanation, a matzurah, which means a hadas mitzri, a hadas that comes from Egypt. Either way, the point is the same thing. As the Gemara is saying, it has 7 leaves on each level, so even if 4 fall off, you still have 3. Amar Abaya, so Abaya says, Shema Mina, you see from that, by the way, that this Hadas Mitzvi is actually kosher for the Hadassim in the Lulav. Again, as we had a few days ago in the Gemara, nowadays we think of Hashanah as if anything, maybe as the Arabis that we use on Hashanah Rabbah, but in the Gemara's times, they use the word Hashanah to refer to the Hadassim in the Bullah. So the Hadas Mitzvi, or Hadas from the edge of the field, whatever, is kosher for that purpose. The Masa Pshita, obviously, why shouldn't it be? The answer is Ma'ud Tema, Hadar Isle Shem Mavai. You would think maybe since it has a secondary name, it's not called just plain hadas, it's called hadas mitzvi, loy miskasher, maybe it shouldn't be kosher to use, therefore Abaya wants us to know that the braisa is telling you it is kosher. Question is, ve'ema hachinami, maybe chakazoi, where is the braisa itself getting it as such an obvious fact that the Hadas Mitzri is kosher, and therefore saying that you can use it, and even if 4 out of 7 leaves on each level fall off, maybe Taka should be possible because it has a secondary name. The answer is, it's obvious. Because the fact is, the Torah says a braided tree, and therefore it means any kind of Hadas, as long as it fits that criteria, that it has enough leaves to be considered braided, and that the leaves cover the stem, as we said before, the Hadas fits those criteria, then it'll be kosher, and we don't care whether it has a secondary name. Tosfos wonders why B'chlal we even need that. I mean, before we were saying we would have even thought that the Hirduf is fine if it weren't for the fact that the leaves are pointy and the plant is poisonous, implying that, in other words, not necessarily, it's not like the Torah says in so many words, take a Hadas. So why all of a sudden now is the Gemara even entertaining the idea that if it hadn't said eight others, then we would think a Dafgas to be something called only Hadas and not Hadas Mitzri? Okay, Tosfos leaves the question open. Fine. Okay. By the way, there is a discussion among the poskim. We're saying in the Gemara over here that if three leaves on every level, so if 2 leaves fall off, then we're saying it's no good. What happens if only 1 leaf falls off on each level? So the poskim debate that. At Lamaskana, the Dieved, you are Yotzi. The Fetlachtchila, of course, you should take one that has 3. And the Hatchila, it should be that it has 3, that has 3 by 3 along at least most of the length, which is why when you buy Hadassim nowadays, you'll see it says on the packaging, Hadassim Shaloshim, Shlosha Tfachim, or something to that effect, that at least 3 Tfachim of it is Mishaloshim, where the leaves are growing 3 in threes. Above or below that, if they're above or below that, if they're not, then it's not so bad. Okay. Next, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Yavshu Roiv Olav, if most of the leaves of the Hadas dry up, Vinishar Vishlosha Bade Olim Lachin, and there are left in 3 branches, well, Bade literally means branches, but we'll talk about that in a second. There's a few different explanations of Rishonim, what's going on over here. But first, let's talk about Rashi, according to Rashi. The Nishtairu Bade Shlosha Bade Olim Lachin, you have 3 branches with fresh leaves. Kosher, then it's still kosher. So Rashi explains, in other words, you have 3 hadassim in the bundle. So suppose most of each hadass is dried up, and all you have left from each one of the 3 hadassim is 1 set of moist leaves, then it's kosher. The Amr Rav Chista, over Rosh Chalach HaBechad, Rav Chista says, though, those moist leaves, those fresh leaves, has to be at the top of each of those 3 hadassim. So that's Rashi's explanation. Then you have the Rosh gives a different explanation that, and what it means is, you need, within the Hadas itself, you need 3 rows of 3 leaves each that are still fresh. And then even if the rest of the leaves are dry, then it doesn't matter so much. What does it mean? Vidroshoi means, he says, in a Hadas that has 3 leaves on each row, a Hadas Mishulash, typically you have that of the 3 leaves, one of them is a little larger than the other 2. They all start out at the same point. They all start out at the same point, on the same level, on the main stem, but then they're different sizes, the 3 leaves. One of them typically is larger than the other 2. So we're saying that one that is larger than the other 2 has to be the one that's fresh at least. Otherwise we're saying the Hadas is possible. So both explanations are brought in Shulchan Aruch. It also mentions over there, actually, that's an interesting point. Now we're going to say later, and that we mentioned briefly before, and we're going to mention later on in more detail, that if the Dalet Minim are only wilted, they're not completely dry, they're partially dry, then they're still kosher. So the question is, what if over here you have most of the Hadas is dry, and these Shloisha Bade, Olim Lachen, however you define them, are not completely fresh, they're rather wilted. So in Shulchan Aruch brings that in order for it to save the Hadas and make that the Hadas should be kosher, it would have to be that they're actually fresh. If they're wilted already, then that's not strong enough to save the rest of the Hadas, given that the whole rest of it is dry. And again, what we mean by dry by that itself is machlokas of Rishonim. We talked about it at the beginning of the parak. Doesn't mean dry enough that it's folded, or that if you fold it, or not fold it, if you scratch it with your nail, it'll crack. Doesn't mean dry, as in it's completely white, it lost all its greenness, etc. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Niktam Roshay, another thing that makes a Hadas possible is if the top of it is chopped off. So, Tony Ulava Chinina, Niktam Roshoy, what happens if the top of the Hadas is chopped off, but also by Tamara, but then a Tamara grows on it. Rashi describes, we have sometimes a little growth that grows, Rashi describes, sometimes you see it on Arava leaves, have a little tiny greenish berry that grows over there. So sometimes the thing will grow on the top of a Hadas that is chopped off. So suppose that grew over there kosher, then it's kosher because then the top of it, then like this, the reason why it was fossil in the first place is because it's not harder, it's not beautiful when the top of it is chopped off. Now, if it's tomorrow grows over there, then it looks beautiful again. It doesn't look chopped off. So, boy of Yivya, Niktam Roshana Erev Yamtav, but also the tomorrow of Yamtav. What happens if before Yamtav, the top of the Hadas was chopped off? And then on, so now before Yamtav, as far as you knew, this Hadas is fossil. Now on Yamtav itself, the tomorrow grew on it. Mahu, is the Hadas kosher to use on surface for the mitzvah? The question is, yesh dikui eitzel mitzvahs oloi. Do we say when it comes to other mitzvahs, other than karbonis, do we say the concept of dichui? Now, we've learned here and there about the concept of dichui. Most recently, we learned about it in Yuma, in connection with certain dinim of the animals for the karbonis over there that were, where you could have an animal that was kosher for the karbon and then became disqualified for some reason. We talked about, for example, with the Sar Lashem and La'azazel. Let's say one member of the pair dies before you did the avodah with the other one. So here the question is, does that concept apply to other mitzvahs as well? Do we say that this hadas was dochui, it was pushed off from the mitzvah, when the top of it was chopped off? So now, if the tomato grew on it before Yom Tov, sure, then before Yom Tov, it was never nidcha before Yom Tov, because before Yom Tov is not the time to use it yet. But if it only grew on Yom Tov, then the question would be whether nidcha applies to other korbanos, to other mitzvahs at this point. Rashi explains, now we could further distinguish with that, and we did it when we learned in Yuma, between nira v'nidcha, between something that was suitable and then was pushed off, versus something that was dochui me'ikre, it was never suitable in the first place. At this point, the Gemara doesn't know of that distinction. At this point, the Gemara is just asking in general whether the concept of nidcha applies to other mitzvahs, in this case, to the Hadas. So the Gemara says, "V'tishet le'meha." Well, why does Rabbi Yirmiyah have the question? Let him be able to answer it on the basis of a Mishnah and Chulin. It says over there, talking about the mitzvah of Kisri Adam, Kisohu v'nisgala, if you covered the blood of the Chaya or the Oif, and the Nisgala, and then it got uncovered, let's say the dirt or the sawdust or whatever that you put on there got blown away, potter malachasis, then you're potter from covering it, but because you already did the mitzvah, but kisohu haruach, but if the wind covered it, so the wind blew some sand onto it, chayev lachasis, then you're still chayev to do kisi adam, ve omer rav babachon omer mechon alo shonam alo shachosim nisgala, this that we're saying that you have to cover it only applies if it became uncovered afterwards. So in other words, as long as it's covered, so the wind blew sand on it and covered it, then fine. As long as it's like that, you're not chayev. But if then, before you left the area, the wind blew and uncovered again, then you're chayev to cover it. Have a loy chosim in a scala, potem alachasis. If not, then you potter from covering it. Now, in the Gemara in Chulin, we discussed the question, ki chosim in a scala, my chayev alachasis. Why should you be chayav to cover it, even if the wind uncovered it? Sure, now it's uncovered, but we should say hayover idchi idchi. Once it was pushed off, once this blood is unavailable for kisri adam because it was covered, then and the fact is, we said if it remained covered, then you would remain potter. So now, just because the wind uncovered it, why are you chayav? And Rapapa says the answer is that there's no dichui when it comes to mitzvahs. So there's our answer. The concept of dichui only applies to korbanos. It does not apply to other mitzvahs. Therefore, as long as the blood is covered, then you don't have to do anything about it. It's nidcha. But as soon as it gets uncovered, then it becomes nira again. And then therefore you become chayav to cover it. So the same thing would apply over here. The Hadas was again, there's a slight difference, because the difference is that over here, the Hadas before the time of the mitzvah came was not, you can't yet talk about Nira or Nircha, because before Sukkot there's no mitzvah to take the Hadas yet. Here it was Dochui when Yom Tov came in, as opposed to over there, where there was a period of time after you shechted, where it wasn't Dochui. But again, as Rashi said, right now the Gemara doesn't know of that distinction. Now the Gemara is going to bring up that distinction. And by the way, I mean, you know, the Papa lived in a generation or two after Rabbi Yehuda. So the Pashtus, we don't mean that Rabbi Papa is the first one to come up with this explanation. As often the case in the Gemara, we have something that a later Amora said, where the Uli Amoraim knew this concept as well, which is maybe they didn't formulate it in those words or something. So Rabbi Yehuda is expected to know what the answer that Rabbi Papa gave. So what's his question? The answer is, did Rabbi Papa go from the boiler? The answer is fine, but Rabbi Yehuda's question is within what Rabbi Papa says. So he's asking like this: Nifshet Pshitalei De'ed Dikri Eitzim Mitzvahs. Is it that Rabbi Papa knows for a fact, based on that story with Kisi Adam, that there is no Dikri by Mitzvahs, and therefore Loishnal Kula Loishnal Chumra? So it wouldn't matter whether the result of that is a Kula or a Chumra. Over here, in our case of the Hadas, if we say Ein Dikri Eitzim Mitzvahs, that would be a Kula. If we say, if by Kisi Adam, saying Ein Dikri Eitzim Mitzvahs results in a Chumra, because you're saying that he has to recover the blood. So that's the question. Does Rav Papa hold of that Lakula and Lachumra, or Joma Sapuki Mesapule? Or maybe Rav Papa only has a Suffolk about it, therefore Lachumra Aminim, Lakula Layaminim. So we only say it Lachumra, we don't say it Lakula. So maybe we would say that when it comes to Kisi Adam, we would say Ein Dikri Eitzim Mitzvahs, therefore you have to recover it. But when it comes to that Hadas, we wouldn't necessarily say. Maybe then we would say it is Dochui, and therefore you can't use it. And the answer would be take, or we don't know. We're going to revisit this point of Dichri on Amud Beis, and then we're going to draw the distinction between Dichri and the Itre and not. But right now, we don't have a proof one way or the other. So the Gemara says Lema Katenari. So now, should we say?
So in conclusion, is Dichri only for Korbanos, or it's not only for Korbanos? It's also for regular mitzvah.
That's what we need to figure out. We know that Lachumra, it applies to other mitzvahs as well. We see it by Kisi Adam. But does that also apply with Kula, such as by Hadas? At this point, we don't know. Again, the Gemara is going to revisit this point on Amud Beis, because we will draw further distinction between something that was Dochri to begin with versus something that was Nirev Nidche, something that was suitable for the mitzvah. At the time when the mitzvah applies, then it became unsuitable, and then it became resuitable again. We're going to talk about that on Amud Beis in connection with the berries on the Hadas. So we're not done.
Why is the Gemara switching to another topic without resolving this one first?
First of all, sometimes the Gemara does that because we didn't have a proof. But now we're not really switching to another topic. We're going to continue this one. We're going to see if we can relate this to a machlokas tanoi. So the Gemara says lema katanoi. Can we say that this point about whether there's dichri by mitzvahs is subject to a machlokas tanoi? Because we learn it now. We said in the Mishnah that if the Hadas has berries on it, then if it has more berries than leaves, then it's possible. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get back to that point. We're going to start discussing that point further on the bottom of the Amud, on our days, about the dinim of those berries. But a braisa has all of a licht on possible. Now, we said in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to pick those berries on Yom Tov for reasons that we're going to talk about on Amud days. But what if a person was over on Yom Tov and picked the berries off the Hadas? Possible, divir of Elazar ben Tzadik. So Elazar ben Tzadik says that the Hadas would be possible. Acham machshir, Acham would say it's kosher. Now, Svaruha, let's assume the Bnei HaYeshiva, when they brought up this Machlokes Tanoim, they thought, Dekolei Amar Lulav Ein Tzadik Eger, that we might start with the assumption that both Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik and the Chachamim both agree that the lulav does not have to be bound, which is a point that we talked about before. The question of Yehuda holds that the minim do have to be bound together. The Chachamim hold they do not. Let's say then that both Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik and the Chachamim agree it does not have to be bound. And therefore, in other words, that so in other words, if we said the lulav has to be bound, then we could say a reason why this hadas might be possible if you put it in the bundle with the berries on it, and then you took off the berries, then you have a problem of task of eleven also. Like we talked about earlier in the Masechta, for example. Imagine, you know, putting possible schach on your sukkah, like schach of fur attached to the ground, and then detaching it, we said it's possible on the grounds of task of eleven also. Are we going to say, if we say Lulav Tzarech Eger, then we might say the same thing. You put in a hadas that had too many berries on it, which was possible. Now you're picking off the berries after it's bundled together. That would remain possible. It's a task of Eleven also. Let's say, though, that that's not an issue. That's not a factor. Both of them agree Lulav Ein Tzarech Eger. Therefore, there's no Asiya involved. So what would be the machlokes then? V'im Timtzalay Me Lulav Tzarech Eger. Or we might even continue, let's say maybe they do agree, that maybe they do hold the lulav does have to be bound, but we would say, maybe we would say that we don't learn the lulav from the sukkah, whereby the sukkah it's a task of life, and we learn from that means loy min alasui. Because after all, by the sukkah it's a task, the chagasuk is task of the chashuv asyamim, but by the lulav and esrog, it never says tasa. So maybe therefore we could say that they, so maybe they say that lulav tzarech eger, but they would say, okay, so the, fine. Anything where it says asiya, you can't have tasa of alayim nasu. That would apply to the sukkah. Wouldn't apply to the lulav and esrog. So if we start with that assumption, my lad baha kamifli, then wouldn't this be the machloikas? The man apostle sava yesh dichu yetzim mitzvahs. The opinion, the Rabbi Lozab of Tzadik who passes it, would say that yesh dichui eisim mitzvahs, so therefore the hadas was possible because it had berries on it when Yom Tov came in. Now, on Yom Tov itself, you pick the berries. Tough luck, it was already nidcha. Where the Chachamim who say it's kosher would say there's no dichui by mitzvahs. So then it would be subject to a machlok the Sanarim. Gemara says loy, not necessarily. The kula amal loy amin yesh dichui eitzim mitzvahs. We might say both of them agree that there is no dichui by other mitzvahs, and therefore that the hadas should be kosher that would have berries upon. But machlokes is v'halchav melof lulav misukkah kamifli. We could say that they're arguing: do you in fact learn lulav from sukkah? The sukkah we know is possible task of leiv nasi. Does the same thing apply to the Dalad Minim? Rabbi Lozab, Rabbi Tzadik is going to say yes. The Chachamim are going to say no. Mar Sava, Yachin, Lulav Misukah. Rabbi Lozab, Rabbi Tzadik is going to learn Lulav from Sukah. Mar Sava, Yachin, Lulav Misukah. So we don't have to say that they're all, we can say that they both agree that there's no dichui by mitzvahs. The Ibori Sema, or another possibility, we started with the assumption that they both agree Lulav Ein Tzarech Eger, but we don't have to assume that. If we hold that the lulav does require binding to full amal of yafin and lulav misukah, then for sure you're going to learn lulav from sukah, because then there is an asiyah, there is a doing involved. Fine, the pasuk doesn't say in so many words, va'ata doesn't say in so many words, tasa, or something like that, but nevertheless, the fact is, if we're going to say that it needs binding, obviously that's a maisa, and therefore we can apply tasa of lemon also to it, but we could say, v'ha'ha b'lulav tzarech eger. Well, very good, then we could say that the machlokes is, does the lulav require binding? And therefore, so if we say it requires binding, then task of leiv nasi applies. Therefore, if the berries are picked on Yom Tov, then it's possible because it's already made, the bundle's already been made. And if not, then not. In fact, by the way, Tosfos points out that the Gemara could have also explained that Rav Elazar ben Tzadik and Chachamim might be arguing about what if you bound the lulav on Erev Yom Tov, and then you pick the berries. Now the Braisa had saw that over the Lipton, that if he was over and picked the berries, meaning that he did it on Yom Tov, even though he's not supposed to, but we could equally have, we could describe it where the berries were picked on Erev Yom Tov. And still, the reason why we mentioned where it was done by Isser is that saying that even then the Chachamim still say it's kosher. But anyways, we have a few different ways of understanding their machlokes, so we don't necessarily have to say that they're arguing about the question of dichui or not. Okay. So then in that case, it would plug the Dahani Tanuri. So it comes out, according to that, if we learn it, that the machlokes of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik and the Chachamim is about lulav tzarech eger or not, then it comes out they're having the same argument as other Tanuri. The Tanya we've talked about before. Lulav ben ogur ben she'ena ogur kosher. The lulav is kosher whether you bind the minim together or not. Rav Yehuda, I'm an ogud kosher, she'ene ogud posel. Rav Yehuda says it's only kosher if it was bound together, not and if not, then not. So therefore, so we could say that Rav Elazar ben Tzaddik holds like Rav Yehuda, and the Chachamim against him hold like the Chachamim against Rav Yehuda. So my time is Rav Yehuda. Why does Rav Yehuda say lulav tzarech eged? So yalef lekicha lekicha me'agudas ezer, because he learns it by Zera Shava on the word lekicha from the bundle of ezer, which it says by the carbon paste, the first carbon paste after Mitzrayim, where they have to take ezer and daub the blood on the sides of and the sides and the top of the door. You should take the dollar minimum on the first day. You should take a bundle of ezer. So malahalan aguda kan aguda. So just like over there, you need a bundle. Over here, you need a bundle. Therefore it's possible otherwise. But Rabbanim, lest the whole lekicha lekicha, the Chachamim do not hold that zera shava because they didn't learn that zera shava from their rabbeim, and a person can't come up with a zera shava on their own. Okay. The Gemara says, man,
if you use this zera shava, anytime he says lekicha, you have to make it an aguda. Which other mitzvahs does it say lekicha?
I don't know that there are actually, but even if so, no, that wouldn't necessarily follow. If we made a binyan ab, then yes, we would apply it to everything else. But if we make a zera shava, Rabbi Yehuda will have learned from his rabbeim that there is a zera shava between some. It depends. Different svarim on klolei hagemara talk about when we say that the chachamim learned a zera shava from their rabbeim. Sometimes if they learn all the details of it, for example, in this case, all the details would be it says it will kaf them by Ezov and it says it will kaf them by the Dalam Minim, and therefore that we learn from it such and such. Sometimes they'll have learned only that there's X number of Zeta Shavas in the Torah and the Talmud, and then they have to figure out for themselves which Zeta Shavas fit in those slots. Sometimes it's that they're saying the word itself is, here's the word that's used for the Zeta Shava, and we have to figure out ourselves what we're learning from that Zeta Shava, etc. So here we don't know what it is that Rabbi Yehuda learned exactly and what the Chachamim learned exactly. But it could be that the Zeta Shava, as Rabbi Yehuda learned it, said precisely that we learned from Ezer to Lulav and Esrog, and therefore wouldn't necessarily apply to other places where it said Lakachtim. But I don't know if it says Lakachtim by other things. Okay. Anyway. So the Gemara says, Man Tona Lahod Tonan Abanon. Which Tana then is it that says the following brisa, Lulav Mitzvah La'ogdei, the proper way of doing the mitzvah is to bind the Lulav, the Imloy Ogdei Kosher, but if you didn't bind it, then it's still Kosher. Mani, now who would that be like? Rabbi Yehuda, Kilo Ogdei Amai Kosher. That brisa, if that brisa is pointed to Rabbi Yehuda, you didn't bind it. Why should it be kosher? He's learning from Zeta Shava. You have to bind it. It's like you had to bind the bundle of Ezer. So there's no L'chila and B'di'evin in there. In general, when it comes to Dinim D'Araisa, we don't usually say L'chila and B'di'evin. That really only applies to Dinim D'Rabbanan. Well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is D'Araisa. D'Rabbanan, my mitzvah, Kavid. And according to the Chachamim, what mitzvah? According to them, that we don't learn the Gzeira Shava. There's no reason to say that you should bind the Dalad Minim at all. So why are we saying that? It's a better mitzvah to do it that way. The answer is La'olam Rabbanan. In fact, that brisa is according to the Rabbanan. Or mitzvah, which is Zekeli Man Beu. You're right. The mitzvah is not a specific thing to the Dalad Minim, but in general, there's a mitzvah to make it's best to make the mitzvah as beautiful as possible. And one way that we make the mitzvah as beautiful as possible is by binding together the Dalad Minim. The halacha is like a chachamim, of course. There is, in fact, a machloikas in Shulchan Aruch. What happens when you say that they don't have to be bound? Does that mean that you still have to have all four of them available to you right now? And then if you pick them up one after the other, then you're yotze. But let's say, for example, you only have, right now, you only have a lulav. Later in the day, you're only going to have hadassim, etc. If you pick up right now the lulav, when you don't have the other three in your possession, can that go towards eventually that you'll fulfill the mitzvah? That there was machloikas about that. So the maskana then, so as far as binding the lulav, the proper way to do it is to bind it, zekeli manbeu, but yeah, that you didn't use yotze, because that locha is like a chachamim. As far as the question of jichui, again, we're not really done with that question yet. We're going to revisit it on Omer Beis. Next, we said, the Mishnah continued, Oisha hayu anovah merubin. if there were more berries than leaves, and the definition of that, by the way, is the Alter Rebbe explains in Shulchan Aruch. What you do is at each level of the Hadas, where you have the leaves, you count the number of leaves on that level and the number of berries on that level. So in other words, it's short. If you have four berries on each level where you have three leaves, then, and then it's like that on the majority of the, and it's like that on the majority of the Hadas, then it's going to be possible. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Chista, Dover Zer Rabbeinu HaGadol Amru, so Rav Chista, Omrei, so Rav Chista says the following statement, our great Rebbe said it, our great Rebbe refers to Rav, V'amokim Yiv Ezrei, Hashem should help him. So the Pashkos, Rav Chista said this while Rav was alive. Maybe Rav wasn't feeling well, and therefore Rav Chista felt it necessary to give him a bracha, or maybe b'chlal, you know, you give a bracha to your Rebbe when you mention it. Anyway, so Rav said as follows, the problem when we're talking about in the Mishnah, when you have berries on the Hadas, is only when the berries are in one place. But if it was in two or three different places scattered around the Hadas, then it would be kosher. Or says, Omale Rava. So Rava says to Rav Chista, what do you mean? On the contrary, Shnaim or Shloshim Akomas, have it minumer or kosel. On the contrary, if you have the berries in two or three places, then the hadas looks spotted. Then it's even worse. At least like this, if the berries all bunched together in one place, okay, that color of the hadas doesn't look so nice, but the rest of it looks normal. But like this, when you have it scattered all around, then it looks even worse. It looks it's spotted all over the place. So the Gemara says, Ela itna hochi itna. You're right. If this statement of Rav Chista in the name of Rav was said, then this is what was said. When the Mishnah said, Oisha hoyu anovav merubin me'olav, if there were more berries than leaves, possible, on that, Omer Rav Chista's Dover Zer Rabbeinu Avgad Omer Vamok Nyev Ezra, all great Rebbe Rav said the following, and Hashem should help him, Loishanu ela anovav shchoros. This that was saying that there's a problem is only if the berries are black. So then they look very different than the rest of the Hadas, which is green, and therefore it looks unattractive, and therefore it's not a holder, and therefore it's possible. Aval, another of a dying Yeruch, but if the berries of it are green, then it's not a problem of a cloud, even if you have more berries than leaves, because Mine the Hadas, who are kosher, then it's like the Min of the Hadas, then it resembles the Hadas itself, because the green matches the green, the kosher, and therefore the Hadas is kosher, no matter how many of them. So according to the second version, then, doesn't matter if the berries are clustered in one place or scattered all over the place, the habit, if they're black, then the habit is going to be possible. If they're green, then the habit is kosher. What about other colors? Omer Papa, Adumois, what if the berries are almost ripe, but not quite ripe yet? So what if the berries are red? Kishchuris Damian, then they're considered like black. And therefore, if you have more of them than the leaves, then it's going to be possible. And we see that as an example where red and black are closely connected. To Omer of Chanina, Hai Dam Shocher, Odom Hu El Shalaka. We have, for example, when it comes to Hilchos Nidah, only certain shades of blood on the Tamei woman, and there's five shades. Four of them are various types of red, and then we have a fifth one is black. Now, why should black be posel? The Gemara over there, Nida, learns from a posel that blood, the definition of blood is that it's red. And Rechanin answers because the black blood is essentially red, just El Shalaka, just that it decayed or whatever, and therefore it turned black. So the same way over here, these red berries are soon going to be black, or vice versa, the black ones were red, and then they just turned a deeper shade. Therefore, red and black are similar, and therefore both of them are going to posel the hadas. If you have too many of them. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, im yatan kosher, if you reduce the number of berries, you pick the berries until you have fewer of them on the hadas, then we said kosher. So we have to ask, Gemar Tino Amos. We have to ask, when did he take off the berries? If we're talking about that he did it on Erev Yom Tov before he bound the minim together, pshita, of course it's going to be kosher. Why we even think that it should be possible, that you should even mention anything? I mean, after all, there's no tas of aloy min asui. There's no dichui because you made it kosher before Yom Tov even began. So what's the problem? El Levosav L'Agde. So obviously it must be talking about that it's after you bound the Dalet Minim together, then you're saying that, then you pick the berries. Well, the problem is Dochui Me'ikrod. Well, that's an example where that's an example of something which was Dochui to begin with. When you bound it into the bundle, it already was possible because it already had black or red berries. So now, and yet the Mishnah seems to be saying that it's fine as long as you pick most of the berries off afterwards. Well, not even most of the berries, enough of the berries that now you don't have more berries than leaves. Well then, tifshit mina, dochri mi'ikra le'habidichu. Well then, at least you should be able to answer from that even if we say that there is dichui by mitzvahs, at least we should say that it's only dochri if it was nearer than nidfe. So the case we had on Amud Aleph was where it was nearer, before Yom Tov, it would have been suitable for, or no, that's the thing. We didn't specify then when was the top of the Hadas broken off. We said that the case was the Tzmara grew on it on Yom Tov. So therefore that was Chaz of Nira. But we didn't specify whether the top was broken off before Yom Tov or not. So maybe at least now we can answer and say that at least if it's Dochri Me'ikra, that it's not a problem, and only if Nira V'Nidche is a problem. The Gemara says not necessarily. The Olam Bosa D'Agde, because we could be talking about we took off the berries after he bound it, before Yom Tov, because Sabra, Eged has Mona Ba'almahu. It might be that the Tana of our Mishnah holds that binding the Minim together is just considered, it's not the actual doing of the mitzvah yet. It's only preparing them for the mitzvah. It's only designating, I am going to use this lulav and these hadassim and so forth for my mitzvah. And that doesn't necessarily count for anything. So therefore, you can't say maybe that at that point, the hadass is already considered part of the mitzvah. So therefore, that can't necessarily be considered. So you can't necessarily talk about the question of dichui me'ikra. When Yom Tov begins, then we can say at that point, then we can talk about Nira or Nidcha. But not before that, not when you just designated it, because unlike, let's say, with Korbanos, where designating it verbally gives it the Kedusha of a Korban, here we could say that binding it together doesn't yet give it the status of a Hadas for the Mitzvah. And Tosfos also brings a girsa over here that maybe, again, we're back to the question of whether lulav sort of egeb, does the lulav in fact need to, does do the minim in fact need to be bound together? So the answer on the whole thing then, well, so we have one more thing that Yishui. So we said the en mematim b'yantav, we said you're not allowed to pick the berries on yantav. Now, the implication is, so the question is, the Mishnah doesn't specify what if he does. And Amar Aleph, we brought a Braisa, we had the laws of the Tzavik and the Chachamim disagreed what happens if he picks them on Yom Tov, but the Mishnah itself didn't specify. Did I skip some lines over here? So the question is, what if you did pick them? My, so what would we say? Kosher. Then the implication seems to be that the Hadas would be kosher, because the Mishnah is saying you're not allowed to, but it doesn't specify. L'chora, then if you did pick them, then maybe the Hadas becomes kosher. So now the question is the Ash for Emas. Well, when did these berries turn black or red, like we said before, such that they would cause a problem in the first place? Because we said before that green berries are fine. If they already turned black before Yom Tov, dochri me'ikrahu, then the Hadas is already dochri from the beginning. From when Yom Tov came in, it was already dochri. Now you're talking about the question of whether you pick them and it becomes kosher. Well then, tifshimina dochri me'ikrahu, zolei havi dochri. Well then, obviously, we can show from that that if it's dochri to begin with before Yom Tov, then there's not a problem, because that would be the implication. It was dochri at the beginning of Yom Tov. It had black berries on it. Nevertheless, on Yom Tov itself, you were over and you picked the berries, and nevertheless, it becomes kosher, showing, therefore, that dochri me'ikra, that it was dochri to begin with when Yom Tov began, and it's still fine. And we don't know that. Ela lav da ashkol Yom Tov. And, or, are we talking about where the berries turn black on Yom Tov? Okay, also nira v'nidchru. Then, there is a case where it was usable for the mitzvah at the beginning of Yom Tov. At the beginning of Yom Tov, it would have been fine because the berries are green. Then on Yom Tov itself, they ripen and turn black. And now we're saying if you pick them, the implication of the Mishnah seems to still be that it's kosher. So that would be a case of Nira v'nidcha, where it was suitable, then was pushed off, and now you want to make it suitable again. So shamach minon Nira v'nidcha choyz v'nira. So then that would show that at least that kind of difficulty is fine. The answer is the Gemara says, no, because we can answer that in fact the Mishnah may be talking about a case where they turn black before Yom Tov. So fine, you can answer one half of the question. When you have the Hadas was unsuitable before Yom Tov already, and now you're talking about you want to make it suitable on Yom Tov, then fine, we could say we can derive from the Mishnah that sort of thing would be kosher. But the case that the case that Rabbi Yirmiyah brought up on Amud Aleph, where it was possible before Yom Tov, and then a Tmara grew on it on Yom Tov, which was an example of, or there, now the case could be over there, the case doesn't necessarily have to be where the chop was chopped off before Yom Tov. The case could be the chop was chopped off on Yom Tov, and therefore it was Nira. At the beginning of Yom Tov it was suitable, then it was Nidcha, then it was pushed off because the chop was chopped off. Now on Yom Tov itself, a Tmara grew on it. So to answer that, to say that we can demonstrate from what we're quoting from the Mishnah over here, that should be fine, that we can't prove one way or the other. So therefore we can't necessarily use such a habas. We're actually going to talk about later on, we're going to talk about tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that maybe with the Hadas there is something special where you are allowed to use it even if the top was chopped off. We're going to talk about, even if a tomato didn't grow on it, we're going to take up that point tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Anyway. Okay. Turn it up on him. You learn it by saying, you're not allowed to pick off the berries in order to reduce the number of them.
So what's the conclusion about dichui? Does it exist?
The conclusion is that there's two types of nidcha. There's nira v'nidcha, and there's dochui me'ikra. There's dochui me'ikra, meaning that when the thing was designated for the mitzvah, and in this case that means when Yom Tov came in, it was already possible, and now you want to make a kosher on Yom Tov. That we said, we can demonstrate from our Mishnah that would be fine. Because the Mishnah is saying that you're not allowed to pick berries on Yom Tov, implying, but if you did, then the Hadas is kosher, and we're talking about where the berries ripen before Yom Tov. So that shows that dochui me'ikroi is not considered dochui when it comes to other mitzvahs. When it comes to korbanos, then we have a different question about that. As opposed to when it comes to nira v'nidcha, when it was suitable, then it became unsuitable, now it becomes suitable again. Namely, that would be the case if the berries ripened on Yom Tov, and then you pick them. So beginning of Yom Tov it was kosher, then it became fossil, now it becomes kosher again. Or the example we had where the top of it was chopped off, and then on Yom Tov itself, and then a tomato grew back. We can't necessarily demonstrate one way or the other from our Mishnah whether that would be kosher or not. That is left us take. And therefore, to be on the safe side, we wouldn't be able to use it.
So we only answer the question when it's...
We answer about Dochim Yikra. We're not able, at least in all Gemara over here, we're not able to answer about Nira v'nidcha. Right. Okay. Next. So turn it up on Ein Mamakim b'Yom Tov. You're not allowed to pick off the berries on Yom Tov. Mishum Rabbi Lazar b'Rabbi Shimon, but they said in the name of Rabbi Lazar b'Rabbi Shimon that you are allowed to. So the question is, how could Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon say you allowed to? Welcome a second mona be Yom Tov. Aren't you fixing a keli on Yom Tov? Meaning it was like this. The fact that the hadas is already detached from the ground. So in terms of picking, the actual picking of the leaves itself off shouldn't really be a problem. No more so, let's say you're eating grapes on Shabbos and you pick them off the stem, there's no problem with that. The problem picking them off, obviously, if the stem is still attached to the ground, but not otherwise. So why should it be a problem over here? The problem over here is only because since you want to be able to use this hadas for the mitzvah, so therefore when you can't, as long as it has these berries on it, then when you take off the berries, that amounts to that you're fixing up a cave, that you're taking something which was unsuitable and now you're making it suitable. So how can Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon allow that? The answer is, the case is where he's picking them in order to eat them. So he holds like his father, Rav Shimon, who holds in Hilchos Shabbos that when you're doing something which ends up being a malacha, but you're not intending to do the malacha, you're intending to do it for a different reason, then it's fine. So therefore, so over here, you're not intending to make the Hadas kosher. That's just a side effect of what you're doing. You're picking the berries in order to eat them. Therefore, it would be fine. Question is, don't Abaya and Rava both say that Rav Shimon is going to agree with Psik Reish of Alay Yomus when you're doing something which inevitably is going to lead to a malacha, then Rav Shimon is not going to allow it. Psik Reish of Alay Yomus means cut off its head, it won't die, meaning suppose you have a person who wants to cut off a head of a bird to have a toy for his kid to play with. He says, well, I don't care whether the bird dies or not. The fact is, the bird is inevitably going to die from that. So therefore, that would be psikresha, and therefore it would be also. The example that we have throughout Masechta Shabbos is, for example, dragging a very heavy piece of furniture on dirt, where necessarily it's going to dig up the dirt. So even if Shimon agrees that such a thing is osur, so over here, inevitably when you pick the berry, the hadas is going to be kosher. So how can Rav Shimon or Rav Elazar Rav Shimon allow it? The answer is Hoch Maaskin, the Islay Shaina Achriti. The answer is, we're talking about over here, where he has a different hadas, so now it's not considered the second plea, because he's not necessarily going to use this hadas. Tosfos explains that actually what it becomes then, it's a malacha she'en etzricha legufa. It comes out then it's a malacha that he's doing not for its primary purpose, but rather for a side reason, and therefore then we can be makel on that. Then we can be makel on it over here for the sake of a mitzvah, and therefore we can allow it. Tosfos elsewhere in other places, the Tosfos and other Rishonim discuss different other angles on it. There's a concept that the Aruch brings called psik resha de loy nichale, where you have something which is psik resha, but you don't really want that psik resha at all. The classic case of psik resha, in the case of cutting off the bird's head, you don't mind that the bird dies. It's not your primary purpose, but you don't mind it. As opposed to, you can have a case of psikresha where you mind the result of it. And here, that might fit into that category because you don't need the hadas over here, and therefore, like, you don't mind, you don't care, you don't want that hadas to be kosher because you don't need it anyway. So therefore, with all of the interplay of all of those factors, that and Dabar Sheni Miskaven and all that, then therefore, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon can be allowing you to pick the berries to eat them. So the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is actually, it's funny actually. There's a gusa like this. In Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam says something about picking them echad echad, one by one. And the Tesef Mishnah wonders, what's the point of picking them one by one? What's the difference whether you pick them one by one or whether you pick a whole bunch together? So he says maybe the Gusa is supposed to be shalikt on acher, that somebody else picked them, namely the somebody else who doesn't need this hadas for the mitzvah. So that would be another way. Like this, you're talking about Reuben himself has a bunch of hadas, and some of them he needs for the mitzvah, some that not, and some of the ones have berries on them. So then we're saying he himself can pick the berries to eat them, and we're saying according to the laws of Reb Shimon, it would be fine. But you have another possible case would be where Shimon picks them to eat them, where then he's not doing it for Reuben's sake, he's doing it for his own sake in order to eat them. That would also be a reason to make it mutter. So maybe you should say acher. On the other hand, in Shulchan Aruch, he brings the Rambam's Lashon, Echad Echad, and the Taz wonders about him, why on earth is he bringing a Lashon, which he himself asks in Kesef Mishnah, why you have such a Lashon? In any case, the Atad Eber, for example, brings it that way, that Lichton Acher, the way the Kesef Mishnah says, maybe that it should be, that if somebody else picked it, then it can be Mutter. Okay. Next, to finish off as far as that, Tanan Abanan, Chutur Agdev Yamtev, what happens if the binding of the Dalad Minim comes out on Yom Tov. Now on Yom Tov, you can't retie it because you don't have the tie knots on Yom Tov. Then what you can do is you can rebind it like the way you bundle a bunch of vegetables, which is you don't actually tie the two ends together. You wrap something around it and you tuck in the end. So the question is, why do you need to do it that way? Why can't you instead make a bow tie? That's not considered a knot as far as Hilchos Shabbos and Yom Tov. The answer is Hamani Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is this price says according to Rabbi Yehuda. Yamani Rabbi Yehuda holds that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a bow tie is a real full fledged knot. And just like you're not allowed to make a regular knot on Shabbos, you're not allowed to make a bow tie. So the question is, Rabbi Yehuda Egan Malius Aboy knew if this Braise has pointed to Rabbi Yehuda, we just said on Amar Aleph that he requires the minim to be bound, and that means a full binding, not just where you're wrapping them, not just where you're wrapping something around and tucking them in, but rather something that's actually tied together, because again, he learned it from the Agudas Ezer. So how can this Braise be saying that it would be fine to just tuck in the ends? That wouldn't be a kshira, that wouldn't be a binding. And the answer is, Haitan, Sovala Kavase Bechoda, or Polagale Bechoda. The answer is the Tana of this Braisa agrees with Rabbi Yehuda on one point and disagrees with him on another point. He agrees with him that a bow tie is also on Shabbos and Yaptiv, but he disagrees about the question of Lulav Tzarech Eged. He would hold that Lulav Ein Tzarech Eged, and therefore that on Yom Tov itself, you don't need an actual knot. It's fine to just tuck it in. So Vachila, Rashi explains, you should, according to the Chachamim, you should be using a knot when you bind it before Yom Tov, because again, we said on Amar Aleph, you want to make the mitzvah beautiful, so you should use a real knot, and that's the lulav rings we use nowadays are made as a knot, but if it came unbound on Yom Tov, you can't remake the knot, then you can do like we're saying over here and just tuck it in, because technically, it doesn't really require binding to be yotzei to the mitzvah anyway. In the Velt, they use those keshalach, those woven things that have holders in them for the lulav and the hadas and the arabas. Those also count as tying because they're woven together and the ends of them are tied. So therefore, so according to that, and according to our minhag, that rather we use lulav rings, then either way we're doing it the ideal way of doing the mitzvah, namely to do kshira. But if it comes out on Yom Tov, then you can't, then you just tuck in the ends. Okay. Shukriyach, everyone.
Shukriyach, when you have a kesher that's done before Shabbos, mm-hmm. you know, the way we do it, can you tighten it on Shabbos? The kesher is done, it's around the lulav, but it's loose. Can you tighten it?
I would think that probably yes, but I don't know. I haven't looked that up.
Can you look it up?
I can try to remember to look it up, yes.
Okay, shkerech.
Shkerech, everyone.